If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there, Beverly Hills 90210 fans. It's now time to dive deep into an episode-by-episode, character-by-character, song-by-song account of the making of your favorite zip code. With your host, Charles Rosen.
Did I say that?
Jeez. Larry Mullen. This heinous thing about the real person. And we're going, what? We're getting rid of this guy.
Pete Ferrero.
And growing up, my TV crush is Claire Arnold. So, I mean, she has to come on the show at this point.
And Melanie Rose, along with many special guests. And your questions. So sit back and relax, because it's like totally time for the Beverly Hills 90210 show.
Hey, so it's me and Melanie Rose here talking about the second episode that we pre-recorded before we get into it. Hey, Melanie, you know what else was very cool that happened last week, but kind of got lost in the mix of all things because of trying to get the show together and all that, was Whitney Port, right?
Yes, such a good shout out. She looks really good in the shirt.
And she looks very good. And she also looks very good in the shirt.
Yes, both of those things.
And I'm wearing that shirt right now. I'm friends with her husband, Tim. It's a long story. And so that's how that happened. She's so sweet for doing that for us, though.
Very cool.
And then, so how's everything with you?
You know, things are good. We're coming off the heels of our big 90210 virtual hunt. We picked our winners a couple days ago, and we're going to be doing another one soon. So stay tuned for that. But it's been a busy week, but you know, and now the Padres and Dodgers are playing this week. So go Padres.
I'm going to show, when we were on the live show, we showed two of the tour videos that we did, but we had a third one when we had gone to California University. So I'm going to show that, and then we're going to come back and intro the next thing that we're doing. So here is the trip that we did to California University, which is not called California University, by the way.
Right. Occidental.
Yeah.
So here we are on campus at CU.
So we convinced Mr. Spelling that it was worthwhile to have the kids have a senior year and graduate. And that meant we needed to find a college. It's a beautiful campus and could look like it would be a state university. We landed on this place after convincing Mr. Spelling that Pepperdine College on the Pacific Coast Highway was not where we were going to have our kids, because it was California State University, not Malibu U, unlike Saved by the Bell. Well, Aaron, if I get up there, you tell me. I'm sure he was said, see, that's where we should have been.
Exactly. Chuck really, I remember having that conversation. He did not want it to be Malibu. He did not want it just to be a beach school. It was just too California. He wanted something a little bit broader.
And then the student body found out we were filming here, and they went ape you know what. Our first interaction with the student body was we took our first episode that we shot here, which Larry actually wrote, Little Fish, and we showed it to our in the auditorium, and Ian Ziering and I came. And they, when they saw the campus and the opening credits on it, they clapped and they were wildly enthusiastic. And then for the next 30 minutes, they just booed everything. That's how they used to do it then. And Ian and I had to answer questions. And they were not gentle softballs. And that, to me, kind of typifies our management shooting company's relationship with this university.
Oh, really? I wonder if Barack Obama was going to school when we were filming here. Because he was a student here.
Interesting. Yes, fun fact, yeah. Barack Obama attended Occidental College. Yep.
And if I would have known he was here, I would have given him a speaking part.
Happy anniversary to 90210.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. 30 years.
Very cool. That was so much fun, Melanie. Thank you for doing all that. The 90210 tours is going to be such an awesome thing, and I'm so happy to be a little bit involved with all that. I'm just excited to see that all happening. It seems like it's going to be a lot of fun from the hunts and, you know, the digital thing that you've got going on. I think there's some good stuff happening your way, right?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, I'm looking forward for the world to open back up again so we can actually do an on-locations scavenger hunt, which is kind of where the idea was born from. So, you know, once the pandemic's over, hopefully we'll even be able to have more fun with locations in person as well.
Yeah, I'd love to go visit more with you. Again, one of our new shirts, and we're going to pick a charity to donate to, is this I Want to Happen to My Life, I Don't Want My Life to Happen to Me Luke Perry shirt. We're thinking about him because his birthday is on Sunday. So as I mentioned, I'm going to be doing a special episode Sunday. I don't have all the details yet. It's still being planned, but stay tuned to our Instagram and Facebook at Beverly Hills 90210 Show or Twitter at 90210 Show, and I'll have all the details. Okay, so now we're going to go to this awesome interview that Larry and I did with Perry Samitin and who will be a more of a regular on the show, which I'm really excited about. And Molly Campbell, talk about a perfect match. Those two were awesome together because we were talking all about 90210 fashion. We're going to go to that now. Thank you guys again for watching the Super Show and for watching these bonus episodes. Can't wait to get back live next week when we jump into Hazardous to Your Health with Nolie Thornton and David Hayward and whoever else knows. All right. Let's go to that. Okay, so here we are on a very special edition of the Beverly Hills 90210 Show. We're talking all about costume design and 90210 fashion. And Larry and I decided to bring on two fashion experts. Perry Samitin, right, is a fashion expert. Yes?
Yes, longtime fashion editor, writer.
Yeah, very cool. And
where are you, Perry?
I'm in New York.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. How about you?
I'm in Los Angeles in the Hollywood Hills, which are burning down.
Sadly. I mean.
Yeah. And of course, Molly Campbell, who was the costume designer. And before we came on here, we learned she started right around college. Now, Molly, I think it's important to start off. We were talking before we came on about the costume designers that came before you on the series.
Right. Certainly, the pilot was done by a friend of Darren Starr's named Jane Trapnell, and she's from New York, and she's married to an amazing architect whose name's gone right out of my head. And then after that, it was Diane Kennedy. And I think Diane's feelings were very hurt because there was an article recently in the New York Post. And it gave credit for, they showed pictures. It's like Fox doesn't have any pictures of the college years. They only have high school. And so it looked like I was taking credit for her work, which I certainly didn't want to do. So I'm making amends this morning.
Let's get on the right foot. I almost went to head to head with Starbucks this morning because they didn't have a pumpkin spice latte. So I'm making amends.
Stop. I thought pumpkin spice was everywhere now since the first
time. That's what I thought, Molly. Yep. okay. So, but when you came into, well, tell me how you came into the show.
Paul Wagner.
So, yeah.
Paul Wagner was a producer for a period of time and sadly, we lost him some years ago, but he knew me from other work that I had done. I worked with him with Ed Weinberger, Ed Dot.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah, so do I.
Tough customer.
I did several pilots and several shows with him.
So it was Paul.
Paul Wagner.
And then
he just called me up and said, I mean, I didn't interview or anything. He just, you know. I was working on L.A. Law.
And Larry, you came into the show around the same time that Molly did.
Yes, which is called season four.
Yeah. Right.
You know, just it was a two episodes before college. And then, you know, I wrote the first of college, which was Little Fish. Yep. So we started, we entered California University together.
We did. And I have University of California stuff downstairs, but I'm going to wait to do a show with Ian. I'm dying to see you to see Ian. I did Ian in drag more times than I can tell you.
Yeah, I feel bad about that. Yeah, I know.
And then there was all that business in Palm Springs where he was dating a person who later got involved with Claire's father, I think.
Yes.
Yes, L. We're talking about L, the transgender.
Yes.
Which I also am responsible for that.
Which are about this big. So you can't see. This big. And it was fun. I like doing people dressed in the other sex's clothes. And, you know, Shannon always liked that boy look with the vest and the tie and shirt. That was during Diane's time. I mean, we were into long dresses and Doc Martens when I came on.
So, Molly, when you came in, obviously there's a few years before you, right, of fashion and things of that nature. What kind of things did you come in, like, with decisions like, hey, I want to take these characters? Was there anything like that? I want to do this with
No. These kids had way too much idea of what they wanted to look like, and they had way too much disposable income, so they could go and get anything that they wanted. I mean, you know, and they shopped at Fred Siegel and Bullock's and all those places that used to be in business.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing was to listen to what they said. Both Jenny and Tori were very specific. Tiffany was a breeze, so was Kathleen. But it's interesting because people see everybody that I've ever dressed has always had something about their body or something about themselves that they didn't like that you were to fix, you know, be it hips or no boobs or whatever. There was always something, even with the boys. And, you know, we went through a period with Tori where she was very, very thin. And I used to have to take pictures in the fittings and go to the producers with them so that it was, so she didn't get too thin.
Yeah.
But I listened to what they wanted to wear, and they had pretty good ideas. And I find people are much better in something they're comfortable with, especially their shoes.
Talk to me about Shannon.
Yeah.
You know,
she was great. I've got a drawing of her here and one of her wedding dresses. I really would love to do a show where we address all the wedding dresses that were done.
Yeah.
We did a New Age wedding. We did Jason. And we just did everybody at some point. Anyway,
yeah,
Dylan and Rebecca. So I would have,
Perry.
I think that would make a good show.
Yeah, for sure, Perry. What do you when you were with us last week? You said you loved Shannon's fashion.
Yeah.
How do you think? What do you think about Shannon's fashion as it evolved from high school to college?
Well, rewatching the show, what always struck me especially about Shannon is she really. I think out of everybody, she really mirrored the way girls her age actually dressed. I mean,
yes.
When I first started watching the show, I was 10. So I was a little young to wear some of the early stuff, like the ties. I was a little young. Yeah. But when I started in 94, I was 14. So I started wearing the long skirts. And, you know, I begged my mom for docks and the little backpacks. And my eyebrows were skinny and my hair was dark and I didn't resemble Shannon physically, but aesthetically I looked exactly like her. And then in 95, I started wearing, you know, the old Levi's and the baby tees like Tiffany. So I really feel a strong connection as when I was a teenager with how those characters actually dressed, because it was very much rooted in real life, where I feel like the very early days, the fashion sort of set its own tone. It was a little bit mirrored. There was spandex in early 90s, but I felt once 94 hit, boom, like it was really rooted in the real world and how real girls dressed.
Yeah.
Yes, and we always used to try and stay ahead of what we call print work.
Yes.
Like I used to try and dress the girls in things that were the very first minute they came in the stores here I would go and see, because especially Shannon was great because she was so tiny. You could put, like, I used to get emails from girls all the time saying, where do you get her jeans? They look so fabulous. I'd like to get a pair. Well, unless you were a size 0 or a size 2, you weren't going to find that. So
what stores did you shop at, Molly?
What stores?
Yeah.
Well, gosh. Well, the big three down on Wilshire, Neiman's, Saks, Barney's, and when there was an iMagnon, and then...
No Lomans, huh? Just kidding.
I'll tell you why no Lomans. They won't do studio returns. No. And we used to have wonderful programs with some of the big stores, especially Macy's or Bullock's, whatever, and all of the stores. I mean, Neiman's and Saks all did this. We had a loan situation where we could go in the store and shop whatever we wanted. And they would write it up on a loan sheet. And then we would take it to the studio and we would fit. And then we would send back what we didn't want and we paid for what we kept. But you have to be dealing with people that trust you. And that kind of got spoiled because a lot of people who were not in the union and they would take the clothes and use them and then return them. I've seen some of those returns, and you couldn't believe what people would send back. Anyway, it was part of doing business, and we always like to pay on time. I shopped a lot at a store for the girls called Tom Mark Wong, I think. He was on Melrose, and lots of stuff in, I think he's on Sunset Plaza now, lots of things in rayon crepe. Tiffany wore their things really well.
Yeah, talk to me about Tiffany. And Tiffany.
She was lovely. I think, was she dating Brian?
And when she joined the show, she was, yeah.
Yeah,
we killed that.
How about for you, Perry, when you saw Tiffany's style?
Mind blown. Like in those early episodes, I loved everything about her. I loved her hair. I loved her bob. I felt that really set her apart because either the girls on the show had long hair or super short. And I just loved that she had that super cute dark bob. And I loved that when she joined, she was always in little slip dresses with Doc Martens. I just found her look so accessible. And I actually interviewed her last year. And she told me that I always noticed the combat boots she wore. And she told me they were her own. And she still had them. I thought that was so cool. And she's like, I wear them all the time. Like,
yeah, who else? I have Dina Meyer's combat boots.
Wow.
Don't ask me why.
You can auction them off.
Yeah, I should auction them off.
Yes.
I know that Tiffany also took credit for the trend. She said it was all her, which, I mean, who am I to dispute this? But I remember specifically in 95 when all the girls would wear Levi's with the top button open. And she was like, that was me. I set that trend because in a lot of scenes.
Yeah, but Tori set the bare midriff trend.
Well, that's true.
Tori came back one year and somewhere on this table, I have a picture of all of them, because then we, you know, not only did we do the clothes for the show, but we had publicity. There was always a call for just publicity shots.
Tiffany had come from Saved by the Bell, which was a totally different show than 90210. I'm curious for Larry, and I don't know how much fashion comes into play in the writer's room, but was there a thought process of we need to adult Tiffany so that she's not looked at as this kid from Saved by the Bell?
I'm sure we looked at the wardrobe before the first episode.
Oh yes.
And so yeah, I know we signed off on that. We always would do that. I don't think there was a conscious effort because we knew the character was going to be bad, you know. So like we wanted to have the character seem all squeaky clean for that opening episode. at least to the end of it, just to kind of show the duplicity of the character and the strength of the character. So I think we just, you know, we knew how we were going to write the character. We're going to let the actual character stuff carry it as opposed to the look. And the look, like I said, we signed off on it. We knew she was fantastic looking and wore clothes great. And, you know, we had a word. I'm just going to share something. In the room, we had a word for this. And do with it what you want. We would say she had upper body pride.
I'm going to use that one.
That's what we would say. And I guess we were politically correct even at the time, but we had to acknowledge the upper body pride, which was, you know, which in a way, as a father of boys who were like, you know, young, almost teens, I would see every season when Tiffany came on, they moved closer to the TV. Be that as it may.
Yeah.
I mean, no comment. About that too. Like she's talked about how with me, and I've also read when she was on Saved by the Bell, she was like, young and, you know, really skinny. And she was like, I developed like overnight. And she was like, that was weird. Like having to be so adult.
Voluptuous.
In the public eye. And we talked a lot about fashion, but she said it was very different than her experience on Saved. Just because her body was so different. But what's funny is watching her in the early seasons, that's how all the girls are dressing. Like, everyone, every millennial, Gen Zer, they're all with the Martins and the little baby tees and the slip dresses. And I know fashion, of course, is circular, but it's really unbelievable how relevant all of their looks in the 90s were, but especially Tiffany, how it holds up today. Like none of it looks dated.
Yes, I agree.
That was print, but we also tried to not date the show so that it, although this was not a big rerun show.
No, which is why we did 32. That's exactly correct.
Yes.
But Molly, I'm curious on that topic about Tiffany. Was you knew she had come from Saved by the Bell, which was a younger show. Was it specific for you to change her look or appearance from?
Not at all. In fact, I don't even remember knowing that she came from that show.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's not true. It was at one of Jenny's real weddings early on in somebody's backyard in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, that was to Dan.
Married a guy probably that looked exactly like her.
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. His name was Dan.
That's right. Well, good for you.
That was 94, I think.
Larry wins the prize for guessing that, right? Ding.
Yeah. Was at that wedding. That's where I met her first.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and probably she was with Brian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And well, then, you know, I think I was with Betty Reardon, so it was all, you know.
Let's talk about Jenny, Kelly's fashion through the years. Mm-hmm. Perry, you had some strong words about Kelly's fashion on the last time you were with us, right?
Yeah, I didn't really feel that character was defined by her fashion quite the way the others were or are.
That's Jenny herself.
Which is what I think Chuck said last time, or someone said last time that was. And I think I actually sort of liked the way she dressed in season 5. I liked when she was descending into drugs. I thought she looked really good. And she was wearing like a little cooler clothes, and she just looked a little cooler, but I never really took to her high school fashion. Her early college looks were just, they were fine, but I just felt like she was more defined by the script than her look. Whereas the other girls, it was a perfect melding of both for me.
Yeah. Oh,
well, that's very interesting. Beautiful. I don't know.
Great, but like,
she
I just
very difficult, like just, and she would love to get into my department and cruise other people's racks to see what there was. So she was tough for me.
You know,
and
I thought in season 6,
thing, you know, it's, you can never tell. You know,
Molly, I thought in season 6 when she comes back from New York after the summer with Colin and she's been the model and stuff, I thought she just looked unbelievable. I mean, I just so sophisticated and just gorgeous.
Yeah. Well,
the outfit she had in those couple of episodes, just amazing.
Yeah.
I thought the clothes, well, yep, she, and she had beautiful coloring, you know, but she too had, you know, certain areas of her body, she didn't like them. And, but then we went through, I mean, I should have had stock in every bra that's made, because we had every bra that is made. It was unbelievable. And we used to try and make, you know, they were always going to bed or something. So you had to have something under there. Just for support, if you will. Anyway, yes, that was an interesting part of it all. The undergarments.
Why don't we talk about Tori a little bit?
Oh, now you see, there, that's my girl. She was, I just loved dressing her. And she, somehow, Larry, you guys wrote a lot of things for her that were costumey. Like, she was the Rose Princess. You know,
of course, yeah.
I did her as on a float with other girls.
That was beautiful. Yeah, we saw that.
That episode. Was, and we had a ball doing that. They were so nice in Pasadena. The Rose House, we were allowed to go. I was allowed
Tournament
to
go. House, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tournament House, right.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, I loved. And I did a costume for her. I haven't found the picture of it yet. She's in a Mountie costume, a red coat.
Yeah, I'm responsible for that too, Lee.
Yeah, you see.
But we just saw that too, actually.
With the canoe. Hanging from her shoulder.
That was the CU talent show at the season 7 the talent show. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Royal Canadian Love Songs.
Yes.
That's it. Harry. I do have a picture of her with me, but it's so tiny. I'm going to try and get some of these things.
What about Tori for you, Perry? What did you think of Tori's fashion?
I felt that her fashion was a lot of fun. I felt that she was more...
She was completely courageous. She would wear anything. And she thought the best comparison was, she was so, to me, she was so much like Lucille Ball.
That's a good...
She could do comedy when she did that. Now, Diane did that, the episode in season 2 or 3 with the 2 dresses with the hoop skirts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hysterical. And I really think she's very gifted.
That's actually a very good comparison, Lucille Ball. I see a little bit that out of Tori out of that. Anyway, Perry, what were you were saying about Tori's fashion?
Oh, just that I thought that I felt her fashion, especially in the college years, was the most trend.
Yes.
Really trend driven. And she reminded me of the Delia's girl. Like, she wore things that were a little younger. She wore, I remember in one episode,
baby doll dresses.
Baby doll dresses. In one episode, I remember her wearing a baby tee that you thought it said Barbie, but it said baby. Like, those very 90s sort of kitschy, slightly sexualized, but I found her to be a lot of fun, but sort of, she represented a little bit more of the youth style to me.
Yeah.
With her little minis, her vinyl mini skirts and her crop tops and her.
Oh, she loved to wear vinyl.
Loved vinyl. Loved a vinyl.
The world, you had to have a pail of Calvin powder to get her.
That reminds me of the Strike the Match episode, where we kind of have her in the music video. We haven't ever seen that one again yet, but I sort of have this remember of her being in that. But what's that there?
This is a drawing.
I know that.
From the fantasy when she played her own grandmother. Right.
Oh, yeah.
A ripe young age.
Season 7.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of fun. We kind of took a chance. Again, with 32 episodes, we kind of, you know, went back. And
wow. Look at that. There it is.
Cool.
That is so cool. Yeah.
The buttons are little hearts.
Yeah. She played her grandmother in 1941 or something.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Little hearts.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah,
as I told you about the underwear, this is her panties. Oh, underneath. And they came from Trashy Lingerie. I did a lot of shopping there.
Well, we saw Tori's panties on the
That's the promo.
Thanks.
Tori's panties.
Yeah, that's great. She's I think I always loved her fashion, and I always loved, like, she just, like, pops always on screen. You know what I mean? Like, she has such a, like, beautiful presence. Like, when you see Tori in a thing, you know, she just brings it. She's just, like, she's just so full of life, whatever it is. Even in the like, more sadder scenes or whatever.
Well, lightness she has.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, what's this here? This is a season 6.
Six.
Yeah, and season 6.
It's yeah. When we went all into the whites jeans and
yeah.
We think the Gap copied us.
Oh, oh really? Yeah.
Hmm.
That's my Gap ad.
Wow. Molly, were there colors you had to have for each character, or colors that they tried to avoid or something?
No, but I have a color theory that I do, because I can do it on the rack without anybody there. So what I like when you're doing, you know, putting people in clothes, you're basically painting a picture that's the size of the television screen.
Mm. Right?
Like you're, like there's a, so I'll tell you about the red dress first. Everybody wanted to wear the red dress because your eye goes immediately to it. Boom, right there. Like I could have worn red today and you would not be able to not look at me. And that's why Tori had a red dress in that scene. So, I do a warm color, a cool color, two neutrals. Now that gives you four. Then you, and that, those you do primary, and then you do it all again, quarter turn, all off primary. And that gives you eight colors. And usually you can, we didn't usually have more than an eight shot. Occasionally in the peach pit we did, but.
Interesting.
So I would have, I would do it on the rack, and I would have, you know, Shannon and, say Shannon was wearing green, which is a big color for her, and she, Tori in yellow, and then like a light and a dark, or a navy blue or black against a cream or a white, and you can color in and not make the cameraman crazy. So that's how I do it. I call it triangulating the color.
Nice.
And it actually works really well.
I love that.
Yeah, I have a nice picture of all of us, the girls and me. I'll find it, of the episode on the Queen Mary.
Oh yeah.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
Season 6.
Yeah. What about Kathleen? We were just, I saw her pop up in that picture that you just showed. What was her fashion like? I know Perry had
strong. Oh, she was right off the wall. She wanted to wear shiny and bright colors. But she also liked black.
Mm.
Yeah, because she was playing the wild child, I mean, especially in the beginning.
Yeah. We used to go shopping together on Melrose. She was one of the girls that liked to go. Like, some of the girls couldn't care less. But some of the girls like to actually go make an appointment and go with you. And you could get quite a lot of interesting things on Melrose in those days.
For sure.
And, you know, and very trendy. It was trendy.
Yeah, that was the
and
place.
She was trendy herself.
You were definitely trendy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I personally think she is simply gorgeous to look at.
We did too. We did too. I mean,
the complexion alone, I would. Oh, just gorgeous girl, and lovely parents. They came to my 50th birthday party.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's a TV crush for a reason, you know.
Yeah. Because she shot something that was shot in Chicago.
She's had a couple of series. Yeah, she had The Boss, I think.
And absolutely awesome.
Yeah, that was her and Kelsey Grammer, I think.
Yes. Kelsey.
I watched every episode of that show.
Which one?
Boss. She was.
Oh, she's phenomenal. Yeah.
Yes.
She looked younger in Boss than she did on Bev.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah,
there's Tell Tiffany. Oh,
this.
Yeah.
Tell me about this, because in that picture that you just showed of everybody in blue jeans, Kathleen is not in the same color blue jeans as everybody. What was that like?
Oh, no, they all had. Oh, I could do a whole television show on what they were in blue jeans, like just like bras. It was, we had everything. Luke only wore Lee's. Jason liked Lucky's. Brian used to wear anything that would hang off his ass. You know, he was in that.
Yeah, the wigger stage. Yeah.
Revealing a new cleavage.
Yeah.
And, anyway.
Perry, what about Kathleen's fashion we were just talking about?
I think of her as like a little, her style was an edgier Tory. I felt that, or Donna, I felt that they too were very much in line with really trendy, sort of really cutesy. But I felt that Kathleen or Claire was a little bit edgier. Like you said, she liked to wear black. It showed. She was always a little darker. As the series progressed, her makeup got more severe. I just found her a little edgier than Tori, but I felt that they were similar in style.
Yeah, I could see that.
Larry, what did we do when we did the kids all in some sort of black and white, really dressy? Was it a Halloween show?
Maybe the birthday party that
it was a black and white party we did have. Yeah, I do remember this now.
Picture of Kathleen from that.
The party that Kelly's dad throws.
Mm. But that's a 20s theme thing, I thought.
Oh no,
was that a black and white?
The 20s theme was a graduation party. We
that was a graduation, but that was the party that Kelly's father threw.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the Wiltern.
I that was not my idea, the 20s thing. I was thrust upon me. I have no idea why.
That's the kind of creative stuff that I really kind of got off on. And how I'm sure. Under budget. I mean, you know, I had John Perret there. And he didn't like my budgets. But it was really strange because, I mean, working with the Spelling situation, it was a little different.
You know? Yeah.
They lived in the biggest house in the state and...
You know, we had Tom Fichter on. He talked about the same budget problems, too, but how the budget kind of opened up after season four, he felt like. From the before that, he said it was really tight.
Here for Fichter and Ted Hardwick and Jill and Dick Henkel.
Yeah, Jill. We talked about Jill.
Be here.
Yes.
Yeah, Jill, I remember really well.
I can serve wine.
Now, Larry, you mentioned the 20s party. I wanted to follow up what you just said, that you did not want the 20s party. I know we're going to probably cover these episodes at some point.
I know. I have no idea. I remember getting called up in Mr. Spelling's office and says, we're going to be doing a 20s party. I have no idea what the angle was or what the jump was, what justification for it was. I mean, other than it was Kelly's father, so I kind of made it work, but I just didn't really. But that's also after they blew away my Spice Girls thing and stuck me with the cardigans. So, you know, I was already out the door. I mean, they had already signed my death warrant at that point, even though, I didn't know it. But, yeah.
Yes. Interesting.
That was already being removed as I spoke.
Sorry to hear that. We all missed you.
No good deed goes unpunished, as we say.
That's one of my favorite.
I had only done 128 episodes. I was the only one left standing at the end of that. Yeah. Everyone else had fallen by the wayside. All my other executives, producers, writers, everyone had, cracked, basically. Whatever.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the guys' fashion since we just chatted
with
girls.
Luke Perry.
Yeah, Luke Perry is someone that I wanted to talk to you about, Molly. His fashion first.
Well, he was pretty straightforward. He was, he said, like always, but we also shopped a lot at Emporio Armani in Beverly Hills, and all the boys wore that. Mm. What he's wearing for the wedding is Emporio Armani. And he was surprised that he would want to wear it because it was a little too high-end for him, you know. Mm. He was really a jeans guy and a surfer.
Mm-hmm.
And I came in sort of as the surf thing was going on the shows, moving away. Because we were selling all the beach stuff and the green and white chairs and stuff like that.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wish I had one of those.
I wish I had several of them. I could do very well with
Yeah. Oh, I would just have it here to sit in. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about the we'd had Rebecca on, Rebecca Gayhart, when we did the One Wedding episode. What did you think of Rebecca's style, and also, you know, creating that dress for
she
the
just delightful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many of the girls that they brought on were just really nice. Mm. And she was one of them. She had all that hair. And and you know, a lovely figure, easy to dress.
Do you remember doing the wedding?
Yes, I'll tell you why I remember that. This is funny, and that's why I want Whitmore to come on, because he'll remember this. I think they were to be married in Malibu, and Malibu faces west, but they wanted a sunrise shot, so we had to find a house in west-facing Malibu that faced east. And I'll never forget that in the production meeting. I thought, you know, why make it harder? But I do remember that. And I do remember the tie situation. I think I still have the ties.
What was the tie situation?
Yeah. Oh, well, there's a moment where he says to Jason, which one should I wear? He says, the one you've got on.
Hmm. I see. Yeah. Beautiful.
But, they were fun to dress. I mean, they didn't mind having nice clothes and being looked after. One of the things about Luke that I always especially loved, and we all have stories, when I first met Luke, he came into my office, and I was there, I was doing it, and he said, I want to ask you something. He said, I've been working, I don't know what, one of those Rodeo movies, 7 Seconds, or I don't know.
Yeah, he did 7 Seconds.
One of those
shows. 8 Seconds.
And he was coming back from Texas. And with him, he brought the magical David Swope. And David Swope was the male costumer on the show most of the time that I did it. And he went on to do several other things before becoming the head of wardrobe at Universal. Mm. And then, but Luke was the one who said to me, just because you don't know this guy, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And that was David. And he was fabulous for 10 years. Mm. Really fantastic. So,
that's nice.
So Luke brought his own costumer.
I always appreciated him saying that and taking the time, because mostly they, you know, I wouldn't care less who was in the dressing room.
Harry, what did you think of Luke's style in college years?
I thought it was interesting. I mean, I like Molly said, it was a very visible transformation from, you know, the surfer guy, the Baja hoodie, the jeans and t-shirt.
Oh, the Baja hoodie. Now
the leather jacket. Yes, exactly. So I noticed the transformation from that toward college, when he still, in the early college, kept his casualness. But then as it got a little bit later, I know he was partial to like three-piece suits and vests and overcoats, turtlenecks. Amazing, but an interesting choice.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. How about Jason, Brandon's character?
Well, Jason, he had a kind of color palette in a blue green area, and his lucky jeans. But he liked to wear a button up shirt, like a regular shirt. But he also wore lots of t-shirts. Mm. We had all kinds of t-shirts because everybody liked a different neckline, as witness this. And
what, can you show that again, Molly? We didn't see it.
Yeah, put it to the camera so we could see. Okay. Oh, no, yeah, hold it back a bit. Okay,
Move over.
Nope. There we go. We say Brian now, but they got to move to the left.
Yeah.
All right. There. More. Okay. Never mind. got it. There we go.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, there's Luke. Okay.
Yeah.
Different necklines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I notice, and which I don't like now, is the oversized shoulder things that Brandon seems to have in suits and stuff. You know, that kind of oversized 90s look, which really never has come back and hopefully never will. What do you think, Perry?
He's not tall enough to carry it off.
Is that what it is? Perry, what do you think of that stuff now? Does it play for you still? Or
no, it doesn't.
I'm afraid we're
going to
see.
Frankly, no. It really doesn't.
That's Perry's new intro clip.
I felt that way too. I see him in some of the later college episodes. He's in these suits and the shoulders are all padded and stuff. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, the stuff where he was wearing jackets about being, what was it? On the
task force.
Yeah, but he was like, they wanted to get him off and he had to go in and.
Yeah.
On the same day that the concert was. Wasn't that
the Rolling Stones show? Yeah, yeah. They were trying to delegitimize his presidency. Can you imagine?
Molly?
Talk about that night.
Oh. That was wild. I'll never forget it. We walked all the stage and stuff before. Me and one of the work girls that did hair, Nono Nanette. And John Perret.
And Nick.
And we walked on the stage and there was a bridge and you could go underneath the bridge and some of it was Mick and Keith on the bridge. We were standing underneath and getting sweated on by
the Rolling Stones?
The most famous rock and rollers in the world. Anyway. No, we all went and I've never been any place so crowded. You couldn't move. Like you couldn't advance like down the stairs where you were supposed to be. You couldn't move. But the dressing rooms were wild that night. I saw there was lots of behavior, let's say.
Behavior. Anyway, do you remember dressing me, Molly? Molly, do you remember dressing me in my roadie bit there? Nick did my makeup. I mean, I remember a guy named Nick did my makeup, but I think
I love that roadie bit.
Thanks for dressing me.
Great. Somewhere in one of the episodes, I think I actually appear myself as somebody fitting a costume.
I'm not sure.
I remember shooting it down in the dressing room area. Behind the
scenes. Must have been one of the music videos, maybe, of Brian's getting him and Tori were producing stuff.
Mm. But for Molly, I'm curious. We talked about this character. We've been talking about her a little bit more lately, Lucinda. You mentioned Dina Meyer before. Sometimes Lucinda was in some wild, like almost pajama like costumes.
Oh, yeah. The dinner party thing we just saw the other day. Which is crazy.
I better have a look. I don't remember.
It's almost like loungewear. It's like a pants. You can describe it, Perry, better than me, probably.
Yeah.
She would wear it. Well, it synced up with her like Earth Mother character. She would wear silk button downs, pajamas, wide leg, palazzo-y, but it looked like pajamas. But that was her vibe. It was like sort of bohemian, a little bit.
Interesting.
It was mature. It was notably
the older woman.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Hilariously, when I was watching her first appearance or second appearance, and Jason's character said, "How old are you?" And she was like, "I'm 25 or something." And I was like, "What the hell?" She looked so old, like beautiful but mature.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
25, like
she looked like she was 30 something.
40. I was
being complimentary. Yes.
Yeah, but like stunning, beautiful. But I think it was 27.
Yes.
And I just found that, and I still find that so funny. Like
it is an interesting thing whenever the characters bring up their age. Like even when they're saying, "Well, I just turned 21," and you're like, "No, no, you did not just no, yeah." What about Ian?
Oh, he was wonderful. He loved to get dressed up. I mean, he was the one we did, you know, we did all kinds of drag. I wish I had
Well, he's still doing drag because he has like a makeup line now, right? And I've seen pictures of Tori putting makeup on him and whatnot. Like he's still all about it.
Well, he's got two daughters.
Yes. Yes. It seems like he's doing great with all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really want one of the KEG rugby shirts.
Oh, I want one too. Yeah.
The keg shirts, the rugby shirts.
The green and white striped rugby shirts from the fraternity.
Yeah. Well, they did some sports.
But I think you can get them.
Aw.
That's cool. Yeah.
There are only a couple of copies of this picture.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah.
But there's Shannon in it.
Yeah, I see her there. Who's next to Steve?
Jenny.
No.
Gabrielle.
Oh, yeah. Brian.
Here's another wedding.
To the left. That's perfect.
I see. Yeah, there you go.
And that's tilted up. Yeah,
oh, that's Nat's wedding.
That's Nat's wedding, yeah.
I'm telling you, there's a million of them.
Yeah, and that was my friend Julie Parrish who played Joan. Do you remember her at all?
Yes, I do, because she was a great friend of Joey's.
Yeah, I know. She was a friend of mine, too. She was an Elvis girl. She was in Elvis Hawaiian style. She was his girlfriend.
He's what now, Joey, you said, Molly?
He was a great friend of hers as well.
Yeah.
Joey's doing okay. I talk to him regularly. Boy, I just feel so bad for him.
Oh
wow.
That's Tori, yeah.
There she is.
Those are like the public. No, I've got that dress hanging right here.
Mm.
Here. What am I doing?
Oh, hold on.
Wow.
That's when
Hello. She's
getting a little too thin.
Mm.
There's the rose parade.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's that was the fun. Canoe. There's the Mountie. She's not wearing her canoe.
Right. she's so beautiful. I think Tori's just...
I think she's amazing.
Yeah.
What's that top dress there? The gold one? Is that gold?
That one, that was actually a rented dress from Bob Mackey.
Oh,
wow.
I thought maybe that's what she was wearing to the black and white party.
Oh, I wish I remember this black and white. I think it was season seven. I sort of remember it.
I should just sit down and suck it up.
Yeah.
Could it be the New Year's party was a black and white party? I don't know. Maybe the Coors episode? I don't remember. Yeah.
That's right.
Hey, Perry, is there anything you think you need to ask before we sign off? We know nothing, so we're looking to you.
Honestly, mostly I'm just now inspired to go shopping and really. I mean, I've spent the last 6 months quarantining, and it's been sweatpants and sweatshirts. But every time I watch Beverly Hills 90210 or talk about it, it really does inspire me to make me want to put on jeans again and sort of recreate some of the looks that I love, because I just haven't really had the joy of getting dressed in so long. And I think credit to you, Molly, like the costumes and everything is just so wearable. And I love it. I love it all. And I think,
well, you're marvelous. I wish I was coming to New York to meet you, but.
Me too. Me too.
One day I hope.
Yeah.
My son, college, when the kids on the show were in college, he's now 44 years old.
Yeah.
So, he was doing things like proms and things exactly at the same time. Like if you wrote about it, we were doing it at home.
Right.
Yeah. I graduated at the same time too, where everything that was happening in 90210 was happening sort of in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Including my crush on Claire. Right. It was in real time. All right.
Great to see you, Molly.
Yeah. This was great, guys.
Thanks, Molly.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.